You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. On Monday mornings, you can call the program at 564-1290, 564-1290. When we rebroadcast Monday evenings at 9 p.m. and Saturday afternoons at 2 p.m., call Mark Schneidman, your local Coldwell Banker Realtor, at 898-4242, 898-4242, and visit RadioRealEstate.com for program information and to search MLS listings in Santa Barbara and throughout California. Welcome back. Let's see, we have Jaron Peltz is the produces the program. Les Carroll is the general manager. Gene Graffy is today's guest, and I, Mark Schneidman, am my client's realtor. I did hear last week I said Les Carroll was the program director, and apparently some listeners called in and said, well, God, I thought he was the general manager. So I made a mistake last week. I don't know if Les was upset about that or not. But did you find out who let the air out of my tires last week? Went down after the show and just it was one tire. But I'm sure Les wasn't upset that I called him the program director.
So you do make mistakes. I didn't know that.
Well, I could actually debate that with you, but we'll do that off the air. But I still might. It's arguable. But he in fact is the general manager. I will grant him that. Now, right before the break, I might have made another mistake by crossing Gene Graffy and throwing something out here. My comment was a registered Republican. Of course, we all know Republicans are in the pocket of big business and develops, and they're sworn to pave paradise. And so you actually were part of something to thwart big, greedy developers. My goodness, how did that happen?
How do I do that without attacking you?
Please, attack me. Please. I said it to be attacked.
You know, you have a stereotype there. Actually, I found that when it comes to local politics, it's not a matter of Republicans or Democrats. I think that it's a matter of if you don't want growth here, you don't want growth. It doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or whatever you are. I think that party labels go more with maybe state and federal issues and federal government rather than local quality of life.
I've heard that before. I've heard that from city council members.
I really do. And actually, both the city council and the board of supervisors are nonpartisan. I think where the difference comes is the Republican, by their philosophy, are very strong about private property rights and the loss of them, which certainly are, I think, Susan Petrovich probably got into last week.
Yes.
And she is not a Republican, so there you go. And that's a matter of that. And I think a lot of times it's a matter of common sense. If they're meeting the zoning, they're meeting the setbacks, they're not asking anything special, we felt in many of the cases that came up to let the process happen and let it go through to the final decision makers.
Right.
So
right.
That was part of
it. Yeah,
so
Democrats don't really have common sense. Is that what we're saying?
I don't think it was necessarily Democrats at this. No, I started out saying it's both Republicans and Democrats feeling the same way.
I'm kidding. A little. Okay, so let's go back. We gave the history.
Do you need to be converted? I guess I didn't realize that.
You meant from? No. I'm with you. I'm behind you. Just speaking to a new audience. I don't know who's out there. So we're going to the history of this downzoning. We've covered that. You very aptly said, for every action, there's a reaction. And we led through Measure E was in the middle of it, and now today we're doing this inclusionary housing.
Well, Measure E came about a little bit later because the theory that was expressed in the impacts of growth was that jobs attract people. And if you control the housing and you don't control the commercial, you're going to be out of balance. You often hear even today about housing commercial balance.
Yes.
And so the idea was that we should then control the commercial, and that was where Measure E came in. I thought Measure E was too restrictive in a number of senses, and eventually it was amended to kind of take care of the concerns that I had at the time.
It diluted it a little bit?
Pardon?
It diluted? Measure E was diluted? Well,
yes, because the way it was written, if, say, there was a small business and they wanted to add some storage space in the back, they would have to then supply a house someplace or pay an in-lieu fee for it. And it just didn't make sense for small businesses to be subjected to that. So that was changed so that you had to be a certain size and so forth before.
And what's left from Measure E that's in place today that restricts business development?
That's right. There's only so much commercial a year that can be built, and it's almost a contest for people to get their applications in to get approved for that.
Okay,
extension.
So that's what's left over is that they have just an annual allotment.
That's right.
That you're allowed. You that balance is interesting, and that's what Goleta, the city of, is grappling with, and they came up with something very draconian to tie in the commercial. Didn't they like reverse it? They're traditional or something. Are you familiar with what I'm referencing?
Not specifically, but I do know that they have some very, very, as you say, draconian measures to try to solve that.
What about the other item you mentioned before we move to the present and discuss, you know, the ultimate results and also this inclusionary housing? You mentioned briefly, and I don't know if you know this, something about the percentage. Back in the 1970s, they looked at about 60% homeowners versus about 40% or less rentals. Is that a ratio that you know of something updated today, what that ratio might be?
Or? Yes, that's reversed. That's reversed. There's more, say, 60% or more rentals.
Okay.
And as opposed, and that would include renting of houses as opposed to single-family residential.
Really?
Areas.
That's very interesting. So it took about 30 years to reverse that, 60-40. So we ended up now with about 60% rentals and more 40% owner-occupied.
Oh, don't hold me to those percentages now, but that's
roughly,
the last I've...
Roughly. But whatever the percentages are, they
it's
have
reversed.
Shifted. You
that's
know,
right.
They have shifted, which will give credence to some of the arguments from some economists who are trying to discuss the bubble theory and their concern that many of the homes owned are more investment rather than just shelter and the roof over your head. And that's where their concern is that if you hit a pocket of economic downfall here and people want to jettison their homes, they're going to jettison second homes, either vacation homes or rentals.
That's correct. That's right.
Could result in a glut of homes on the market. The counter argument to that with our little enclave here in Santa Barbara is that many people, they just have just so much money. We just love all the people who come to Santa Barbara with all their money that, you know, they're planning on maybe moving here in 5 years into that second home. So they're not going to sell it and let it go. I mean, unless things got really, really bad.
And I've known a number of parents who have bought homes for their children to live in while they go to UCSB. The idea that it would be actually more reasonable and a better investment for them to do that than to pay rent.
I've sold such homes and condos, and yes, we see that all the time.
It was amazing when we were approving certain number of housing projects through the years that would come on the market for, say, $75,000 or $80,000. And we said, who's going to buy those? They're going to be stuck with them, which, of course, was...
If we only
very
knew.
Inaccurate.
If we only knew. So we wanted to just come up to the present and on this inclusionary housing, which and bonus density.
Right.
And basically means that developers get to ignore the zoning laws that were changed in the 1970s that we discussed the history of. They get to, if you will, they skirt it. And the county gives a higher density, bonus density, inclusionary housing to try to make a little more sense for them and then get into the affordable housing game. What do you think of that?
Well, again, for every action, there's a consequence. When the cities started to saying, look, Mr. Developer, you have to put some houses in there that are affordable, that aren't market price, and you have to bear the brunt of that. Philosophically, I don't think that's right. I mean, the city needs housing, that's true. They need affordable housing, that's true. But why should this one segment pay for it? Of course, maybe the mindset that as you said, developers are greedy, and it's kind of one word, greedy developers, yeah. And they're making too much profit, therefore we have to stop them. But it only stands to reason that they put a lot of time in these projects. They've got to have architects and grading, all the process they have to go through, that they would have to raise the prices of the market rate houses in order to put in these ones that are no profit for them. So then we have, again, prices being increased because of that. I mean, it's like you should say to a shoe store, you should give so many of your shoes at your own cost to people.
Or less.
And the grocery store and everybody else. Why this particular part of people's lives should you do it? So actually, the city of Santa Barbara has been very good at building affordable housing because they had a redevelopment agency.
Exactly.
And they had the money to do it, and they did some really fine ones. And
but not on the backs of individual developers.
That's right.
Yes.
So then the developers said, well, you know, we can't do it. We can't do it. Although some of them did it when it was voluntary because they knew they'd be turned down if they didn't. So now it's sort of mandated, but then it started out being voluntary.
We'll delve more into the developer point of view. John Blankenship came by my open house yesterday, and he's a past guest and a local developer on a small scale, and he's always talks to that subject very well, so he'll come on in the coming weeks, John Blankenship. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, my guest, Gene Graffey. And the other part you mentioned was the affordable housing, the density was not only other people paying for it, but then the ballooning into a market rate condo. Someone, you know, kind of wins a lotto, buys into affordable housing, and then X number of years later, it suddenly becomes market rate. And so that they get this huge windfall lotto. And even if you're not opposed to that, it takes off the market the affordable housing that was there. Because now it's market rate. So it's a vicious
When
cycle.
I was on the Board of Supervisors, what we did at that time was to say that there was an equity sharing with the government. If you stayed in it for 1 year, the government would get 90% of it. And if you stayed in 10 years, well, then you would get more of the equity.
Yeah.
So there was that effect. But now they have it like 90 years, it has to be kept affordable. So,
is that the current, is that where it
in
is?
In some instances,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
right.
I guess, you know, I favor that more. I guess there's some technicality. You can't do it in perpetuity. The other argument is just to make them rentals in the first place and just get it out of the ownership. Because the irony is, and I've known someone who almost bought into this 15, 20 years ago, an affordable house thing that would have had the 30-year restriction. And somehow they didn't get into that, and then they just managed to get into the market rate, and they got into the market, and then they really, you know, got fortunate and lucky enough to get into the appreciation.
The other side of that, too, is that people then end up with no equity to go on to something, yet their salaries have increased, so they're supposed to move, and they don't have enough to really
exactly.
buy a house.
So. Because they're not in the market.
That's right.
They're in this false market. We'll come back. I want to talk about the development more of private property. How far should we go? And when I say far, I mean floor area ratio, which is a way to determine should you be able to improve, increase, build a larger house on your parcel, known as the mansionization of the Mesa and Montecito. So we'll talk about far, floor area ratio, and Upper State Street, which they now calling Outer State Street. Well, you're telling me that it was originally Outer State Street.
That's right.
I think it's out of State Street because they're running out of room. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, 564-1290. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.